Now, today on the program, we're going to be talking about a tour by a Israeli-Palestinian. Maybe I got that backwards. A Palestinian or Israeli who was who's once lived in a village where there is now a place called Canada Park, and we have as a guest the coordinator of the visit by this gentleman, and our guest is Tyler Levitin. Are you there, Tyler?
I am. Yes.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us. This is really, I'm quite fascinated to know this gentleman is coming, because over the years I've heard the talk, I never looked into it closely, I never understood exactly what the story was of Canada Park. So first of all, what organizations are bringing him? And I know you're the coordinator of Independent Jewish Voices, if I'm right. And
Independent Jewish Voices is the main organizer of the tour.
Yeah.
We have some national sponsors, including the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, mm-hmm. The United Network for Justice and Peace in Palestine, Israel, which is made up of United Church activists across Canada,
mm-hmm.
and Canadian Friends of Sabeel, which is an ecumenical justice organization for Palestinians. And then in Toronto, we have, just like in other cities where we're bringing him, we have local co-sponsors.
Uh-huh.
So in Toronto, we have folks from the Stop the JNF campaign, the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, mm-hmm. and some other participants from different organizations that are kind of individually helping with the organizing and coordinating.
Yeah. And is this the first speaker we've had on this subject? I didn't realize that there were people who had been there and who are in a position to talk about it. I've never seen a public talk about where it's an actual witness.
Well, there's actually a Palestinian who's from the village of Beit Nuba, which is one of the three villages that was ethnically cleansed in 1967, and on part of the lands of which are covered over by Canada Park. This Palestinian lives in Canada. He's been living in Halifax for mm-hmm. the last few decades, actually. He's a professor. Mm-hmm. He was a professor of pathology at Dalhousie University. And he was very active, and actually still is active to a large extent on this issue, and had been petitioning the Canada Revenue Agency to investigate this matter and to revoke the charitable status of the Jewish National Fund of Canada, which is responsible for this project that has prevented, really, him from returning to his home, to his mm-hmm. property, and, of course, covers over the ruins, the actual village sites of mm-hmm. two other villages, Yalu and Imwas, which were ethnically cleansed in 1967, as well as over the sites of a village that was ethnically cleansed in 1948 called Deir Ayub. So Ismail Zayid has talked in different cities across Canada over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a speaking tour featuring him, several years ago, but
uh-huh.
it's not something that's been really talked about very much in the Canadian
Certainly,
public. But it's
the media doesn't. The media pays very little attention to this issue, do they?
Very little, yeah. It's something that, all Canadians are very directly connected to, not just because of the name being attached to the park, but also because it was actually paid for through this organization that has charitable status to this day, the Jewish National Fund of Canada, and continues to put money into this park to add additions to the park and to, maintain the park. And so we're continuing to subsidize the existence of this park through the charitable status of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
So all Canadians are directly implicated in this travesty of a project, mm-hmm. which really is covering over war crimes, destruction of civilian property in occupied territories is a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in occupied Palestinian territories. The large majority of Canada Park is actually beyond the Green Line in the Palestinian occupied West Bank. Our official policy, Canada's official policy, states that it doesn't recognize Israel's occupation of the occupied Palestinian territories, and mm-hmm. that establishing settlements, for example, are a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention. other changes to occupied territory that are deemed permanent. Mm-hmm. Of course, Canada Park is the de facto annexation of land in the occupied territories. What Israel has done is it's used its separation barrier that's, you know, a wall in many areas that has snaked around Canada Park to now actually put it within Israel's territory, when in fact it is occupied territory. So it treats it as if it's going to be a part of Israel in some sort of, you know, future settlement. But it completely ignores the rights of the Palestinians who live there in these villages, who were violently expelled and who have been pleading with the Israelis to allow them to return to their properties for decades now. And it's all fallen on deaf ears. And, of course, the Canadian government, as I said, is directly implicated in these crimes. And the actual project itself, Canada Park, because it prevents the villagers from returning to their properties, it itself is a violation of the Fort Geneva Convention, because the convention states clearly that civilians displaced in times of war have a right to return to their properties. So this is physically preventing them from being able to do so.
Yeah, and I guess by declaring it a park, it's basically a kind of a sophisticated way of confiscating somebody's territory, right? By just saying, oh, it's a park. It's a national park, except it is somebody's home, or it had been.
Yeah, I mean, these are really old villages. One of the villages is called Imwas, and Imwas is widely understood to be the site of the biblical village of Emmaus, which Christians believe when Jesus was resurrected, and it actually has directly to do with the story of Easter, when he's resurrected and was walking on the road to Emmaus with his disciples. This is an important part of how Christians identify with this region and of course with this holiday. So we're being implicated in literally wiping this historic village off the map and erasing it from both space and consciousness. The Jewish National Fund of Canada doesn't acknowledge that Imwas and these other villages are buried under the rubble of this project, which they basically plant. What they did is they planted pine trees, which are very fast growing, so it very quickly cover up the rubble and the evidence of what took place. And also acidifies the soil to the point where it basically makes it unusable for agriculture, which is what, you know, the peoples who lived there traditionally did. They were part of an agrarian society, which most of Palestine was before Zionists displaced Palestinians. And so it's making it very difficult for them to actually go back to their hometowns and actually, you know, live the way that they want to live. So it was designed very specifically to do that. And this isn't actually just one isolated instance of this. The Jewish National Fund is actually an organization based in Israel that has affiliates or fundraising branches in countries around the world. And, for instance, there's Britain Park and South Africa Forest and U.S. Park, and so different countries that have their names attached to these similar projects of forests or parks, recreational parks that involve lots of trees, being established over the ruins of ethnically cleansed Palestinian villages to, you know, as I said, erase them from both space and consciousness.
That's an amazing story. We're speaking to Tyler Levitin. He is the campaign coordinator of Independent Jewish Voices. That's ajvcanada.org. And the speaker who is in Hamilton, I understand, tonight, and he's going to be in Toronto and other places in coming days and weeks, is Haider Abu Ghosh. By the way, tell us, he is going to be speaking twice in Toronto. Is it during the day and the evening tomorrow? Can you tell us where the events are going to be?
Sure. Yeah, so they'll both be in the evening. So the first one will be tomorrow, Tuesday, at 7 p.m. at the College Street United Church, which is at the corner of Bathurst and College. Then he's going to be speaking the following day, this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the York University Student Center and the Graduate Student Association Lounge. That's room 430. The first event, tomorrow night, we're We're hoping that folks can pitch in $10 at the door or pay what you can, but we're certainly not going to turn away anybody. We want as many people as possible to hear Haider's testimony and to be informed, really, of this issue and be equipped with being able to take action. And for the Wednesday event, it's going to be free. We are actually hoping that people would be willing to pitch in some money, though, because all the proceeds raised from this tour are going to be going towards the campaign to challenge the charitable status of the Jewish National Fund of Canada. Mm-hmm. It's been an ongoing campaign, and there's actually been different iterations of the campaign over the last several years. But Independent Jewish Voices has been working with allies in the Palestine Solidarity Movement for the last, I'd say, close to 3 years now on a very dedicated, strategically oriented campaign to focus on the Canada Revenue Agency to actually put, strategic pressure on them to do their job and finally revoke the scandalous charitable status of this organization.
Mm-hmm. By the way, has the Canadian government ever made an answer as to, surely this has been put at their doorstep, saying, how can you be involved with this? Do they rationalize this, their involvement with the Canada Park?
There's just been complete silence on the issue.
It's the best method.
It's a pretty black and white issue.
They're waiting for their lawyer. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I said it sounds rather like a legal strategy. In other words, don't respond and see if it becomes litigation or something.
Right. Yeah, I think that there's really no benefit, from their point of view to respond.
And how about Parliament?
They're only going to look bad, really.
We've had a few voices in Parliament. Of course, they might be years ago. I think a man like Dan Heap. Has this been broken? Issue been broached in Parliament at all?
Not to my knowledge. No. I mean, around the time that the park was established, Ismail Zaid, the fellow I mentioned earlier from Beit Nuba, was very active. Trying to seek the support of different members of parliament and senators and whatnot. And I think over the years he found maybe one or two politicians who were willing to stick their neck out for him, but it was, of course, was not nearly enough to go up against the establishment in Canada, which is very much in sync with Zionist interests. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Jewish National Fund is the most Zionist institution you could possibly come across. Mm-hmm. They actually, fet a lot of politicians at their fundraising galas. They have annual fundraising galas in cities across Canada. And some of your listeners may recall that when Harper announced his junket to Israel back in, December 2013, it was at a Jewish National Fund of Toronto fundraising gala. So this is an organization that, at the time was actually celebrating Harper. He was being honored, and he found it appropriate to make that announcement to, hundreds and hundreds of guests who came to this gala. These galas, of course, are not really open to, general members of the Jewish community. They're very elitist events. Tickets usually start at about $250 a piece, It's usually the who's who of society who comes to these events, a lot of politicians, municipal, provincial, and federal, and other business leaders in the community and other leaders in the community. But the basically closed-door events to celebrate certain people. And in a way, it's almost like they're buying their support for ongoing complicity and ongoing silence.
It's the old problem of money and politics.
What the JNF has been doing.
Again, this is Tyler Levitin. He is the campaign coordinator, of Independent Jewish Voices. It's ijvcanada.org, by the way, excellent site. I hope people go to that. And your speaker, Haider Abu Ghosh, I noticed in the announcement of the subjects he's going to talk about, he speaks about a path towards justice and peace. Do you know, I assume some of his work is there in Israel. I know there are many in Israel who support the effort. What kind of things do you know does he speak to? Was he, when it says he's suggesting a path, what would that be?
I think that he's very much interested in having really honest and uncomfortable discussions about the reality of what's going on in Israel-Palestine. Mm-hmm. And I think any path towards peace and justice requires, you know, really examining what's happening there on the ground and, you know, what the causes of it are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dispossessing a people, you know, displacing them, taking their lands, and failing to really address that through apology, reconciliation, compensation, these sorts of things, mm-hmm. which usually I think are required in any kind of attempts at resolution of conflict situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is completely absent from discussions about what's taken place in historic Palestine. The Palestinians have been, the entire people have been dispossessed of their homeland, and it's continuing to be gobbled up by Israel's expansionist, colonialist agenda. Mm-hmm. And we talk as if they're kind of two equal parties, that there's actual parity between them, and all they have to do is go to the negotiating table and resolve their differences. Yeah. When the reality is that one is a, you know, representative of an occupying power, of a military hegemon, essentially, and the other doesn't have any states, doesn't have an army, doesn't have really, you know, any form of power to be able to defend their interests. And so Israel is continuing to, you know, to colonize Palestinian land with largely with Western impunity. So I think the path toward justice and peace is to address what's happened to Haider and his fellow villagers and what took place in 1948 to establish Israel, which, and of course, in order for Israel to come into being, it had to expel hundreds of thousands of Palestinians.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I think you really touched on something very important. It's only in recent years, isn't it, that we've begun to have publication of important books, well-researched, and also the release of documents and even eyewitness testimony from former Israeli soldiers and officers and whatnot who've clarified the issue of how people came to leave their homes. And it was the prevailing reason in almost all cases was fear and of violence and actually the attacks on villages, leaving them no choice.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's been again, a surge of research has come out of Israel through what they call revisionist historians. So Israeli historians who were able to access documents that were just declassified in the 80s, which really presented a very different story to what pretty much all Israelis and the world, because Israel is the victors, were able to kind of write history around what took place in 1948 and its aftermath. Mm-hmm. And what they were able to discover is that the Palestinians' narrative was correct. It corroborated, you know, basically what the Palestinians had been saying for decades.
Yes.
that it was a really a violent campaign of ethnic cleansing that took place, mm-hmm. where there were numerous massacres and intimidation by Zionist militias to drive the Palestinians out en masse. Of course, the only way that a Jewish state could be established was for the mass expulsion of Palestinians and native inhabitants who weren't Jewish, because mm-hmm. I mean those were the demographics. The Jews were a tiny minority in that area, you know, mostly newcomers from Europe. Mm-hmm. So we have to address that. And of course, like, just because these Jews who came were refugees, it doesn't justify creating another refugee population. I mean, just because Jews have suffered historically, we can't just ignore what's taken place to the Palestinians. We have to examine it and acknowledge that terrible things have taken place, and there needs to be, first and foremost, an acknowledgement by Israel of the truth of what's happened. And then we can talk about reconciliation. And I think that's kind of what Haider is going to be touching on, that at the very least, let's start having these conversations, because they're not having, they're not being had, really, to the extent that they should be. And then we can talk about reconciling, you know, the fact that Israeli Jews are now living in historic Palestine and should have the right to continue living there alongside Palestinians as equals. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking Israeli Jews to leave, of course. Palestinians, the large, large majority of them, including Haider, want to live in peace with Israeli Jews as neighbors, as equals. Mm-hmm. And in Israel's expansionist agenda is not going to allow that to happen. So we really need to be having these conversations. I'm very excited about this tour.
Well, I am as well. I think it's great that you're bringing him. His name is Haider Abu Ghosh. And if you could just remind us again, where will he be speaking tomorrow in Toronto?
He'll be at the College Street United Church, corner of Bathurst and College at 7.
Mm-hmm. And isn't he also speaking at York University at some point?
Yeah, and then the following day, Wednesday, he'll be speaking at the York University Student Center and the York University Graduate Student Association Lounge, room 430.
Mm-hmm.
The event on Wednesday night is free. Donations are welcome. The event tomorrow night, we're requesting folks pitch in $10 or pay what you can, but no one will be turned away.
Well, that's terrific. Tyler Levitin, it's great talking to you, campaign coordinator, Independent Jewish Voices, ijvcanada.org. Well, we look forward to that talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Okie doke. Bye-bye. Tyler Levitin. And again, that's Haider Abu Ghosh is speaking tomorrow, 7 p.m., College Bathurst.